in the book of Daniel. And some of you need some help. That's in the Old Testament, okay? Amen. Over next to Hezekiah, you'll find Daniel. I'm kidding, okay? Some of y'all looking, where's Hezekiah at? Ezekiel, maybe that's where you ought to look. Pass that up. Daniel chapter number 2. Daniel chapter number 2. We know a lot about the writing of Daniel and the things that there are there as far as, you know, studying those. And, of course, a lot of folks like to get over into the prophetic things, and that's not what we'll be necessarily looking at tonight, but there are a lot of prophetic things in the book of Daniel and even around some of the things that beyond where I'm reading tonight. But if you will, look with me in verse number 19. Verse number 19. Now, just to kind of set the stage, King Nebuchadnezzar is the king of Babylon. The children of Israel have been taken captive and are having to be taught or just come to terms with the ways of the Babylonians. And they're necessarily, the Babylonians are trying to get all of the Israelite and Jewish ways out of the people of Israel, trying to convert them into that mindset of Babylon, which is generally what they did in those days when an army or a nation conquered somebody else. They tried to drive out the customs, drive out the religion, drive out the ways of those people, try to drive all that out and make them think and act and look and do like them. So if you read the first couple of chapters, the first part, first chapter number 1 and then part of chapter number 2, you see that's what's going on. And then in chapter number 2, Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. And, you know, you ever had a dream and you woke up and you knew that it was something pretty important, something had impact, but you forgot exactly what it was. Well, that's where Nebuchadnezzar was. So he demanded for his wise men, if you will, his counselors and soothsayers and astrologers and all these wise guys to come in, and he said, tell me the dream. Tell me what it means. And they said, well, okay, king, you tell us what the dream is. We'll tell you what it means. And he said, you're going to tell me both sides of it. You're going to tell me what the dream was and what it means. And they're like, well, king, we can't really do that because we don't know what the dream. He said, they said, there's nobody can do that. He said, well, y'all better come up with something because if you don't, I'm going to have all of you killed. You remember that? And so anyway, that's kind of where we are. And Daniel, as one of the young men that is in this group because of his wisdom, his place, and his understanding, and his heritage, his upbringing, all of this that seems to be in his background, that has put him in with this group. Him and, of course, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're all there in this group of people. So they're in meeting the same fate as those wise men. They're all going to die if they can't come up with something. So Daniel tells Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and says, boys, we got to pray because we're going to be in trouble if we are not able to answer the king's request. And boy, they get alone. They begin to pray. They begin to call out on the God of heaven. And if you'll jump in verse number 19, this is what it says. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Therefore Daniel went unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste and said, thus unto him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. And the king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days, thy dreams and thy visions of thy head upon the bed are these. Let's have a word of prayer, if you would. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the afternoon. Thank you for blessing us and bringing us back to this place. Now, I pray now, God, you get glory, honor, and praise. And I pray you just help us today as we worship you, as we love you, and as we give you glory. And I pray now you just move on our hearts and show us some things here this evening. Just be a blessing to us. And Lord, if there's somebody that needs to come and just be blessed and gain a greater insight, a greater blessing from you on some things, would you speak to their heart? Would you touch our hearts and deliver our hearts this evening and just stir us, make us more like you, give us your blessed will and direction and design for our lives, and we'll thank you and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to preach to you there out of verse number 28 where Daniel said, but there is a God in heaven. Amen. But there is a God in heaven. Boy, aren't you glad tonight that there is a God in heaven. Amen. I mean, Daniel, as I say, here he is, and we understand at this time, Daniel's pretty young. He may even still be at this juncture. He may still be a teenager. He certainly was in chapter number 1 when he said that he made up his mind. He said, I have determined within myself, I'm not going to defile myself with the king's meat and the king's drink. And you know the story how that he gave a challenge to the head master over him and the others. And he said, look, let us go for a testing time and let us just eat the vegetables, the pulse, and drink water. We don't want the king's meat. We don't want the king's wine. And if we are not doing as well or better than them, then we'll switch. But you just give us a time of test. And the Bible tells us, God bless them. Hey, brother, they got fat off of beans and taters, fatter than that crowd is eating steak. Amen. I mean, they fared better than any of those others that were following the king's procedure. And Daniel had made up his mind that he was going to serve the God of his father. Amen. You know, there's a lot of folks today that say, well, you know, young people, they've just all gone crazy and there's nothing you can do with them and they're all headed down. No, sir, they're not all headed there. Thank God for that. I'm glad there's some of them that can still be like a Daniel and make their minds up that they want to and they will serve God. It may not be the majority, but praise God, there's some. Amen? And I'm glad of that, aren't you? But listen, Daniel says here as he's giving his testimony before the king. The king says, boy, how are you going to be able to answer this? He said, king, won't you know something? It's not me. It doesn't have anything really to do with me so much. But he said, there is a God in heaven. Amen. Boy, can I tell you today, that same thing is true. I mean, really, you can look at this, and as you begin to look at it and find all the fallout and the things that are going to happen, it's a political mystery, or it's a political drama, if you want to look at it that way, because that's what's going to happen. As Daniel begins to tell the king about his dream and about what that dream means, then as he does that, he's unfolding a scene from political history. Daniel begins to unfold the scene of the different nations that are going to come to rise in power and how they're going to fall. excuse me, and how that's going to go all down through the centuries and the days ahead. They're all going through this process. As they go through that, Daniel finally tells him, he said, but at the end of it, he said, in your dream, you saw a stone that was carved out without hands, came down out of the mountain, and it came down and it destroyed that image that you dreamed about. He said, that's the Son of God. Amen. Well, that's what me and you're looking for, is Jesus to come and be the conqueror and the ruler and the Lord God over everything one day. Amen? So that's, you know, that's what the dream is about. I mean, it's a political thing. And, you know, we get into the day that we're in today, and I know we're all looking at this time. We've got an election ahead of us, but can I tell you, man, you need to look the same way that Daniel did. I mean, Daniel wasn't worried about who was sitting on the throne. Daniel knew who was sitting on the throne, amen, the throne in heaven. He said, there is a God in heaven. Woo, when you find that out, son, a lot of your problems, a lot of your questions, and a lot of your issues can get taken care of in a hurry. I want you to notice there are some things here that Daniel says. And, you know, I'm thankful for the testimony that Daniel gives about God. When you begin to look at this where we started now, you know, as I said, you begin to read it, you see that Daniel says, boys, we're in trouble. And he tells Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fellas, something's going to have to happen. You know, there's something that's going to be required. And as he does this, look what it says in verse number 16. It said, Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of God, of the God of heaven, concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. He said, boys, we're going to have to pray, as I said earlier. He came in to them and said, we need to beg for the mercies of heaven. We need to ask God and say, God, we need some help from you. Wouldn't that be a blessing today if there were political people that would stand up and say, fellas, we don't know how to fix everything. I don't know what to do about the economy. I don't know what to do about the foreign powers and their pressures and the problems they bring. But I know there's a God in heaven, and he's got the answer that we need. Amen. Well, wouldn't that be a real blessing to know that? But that's exactly what Daniel says. He says, boys, we're in a problem. We're in a fix. We're in a strait. We're in a tough spot. Somebody's going to have to do something. He said, you guys, we're going to have to get together and pray and ask for the mercies of God. And then it says there in verse number 19, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel didn't take a cocky attitude and say, boy, I got it all figured out. I'm somebody. I know what it is. Now I'm going to go in. You know, he did not do that. He kept his humility. He kept his composure. He kept his place. And you notice what he said in verse number 20. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. I want you to see this first of all, if you will, when we're talking about there's a God in heaven. I want you to know there is a God that has a certain glory. There's a God that has a certain glory. Aren't you glad now you've got a God that's a glorious God? You've got a God that has some glory about him. Thank God that our God is a glorious God. Our God is the God of glory. Our God is the God that's coming in glory. Our God is the God that surrounds himself in glory. I'm glad I serve a glorious God. You see what Daniel said here? Daniel said, blessed be the name of God forever and forever. He said, for wisdom and might are his. Don't you see this first of all, as Daniel begins to pray and then the prayer is answered, he begins to give his praise. And he said, I want y'all to know that I am thankful unto God. Blessed be the name of God forever. Do you know in that day that and probably through succeeding days, I mean, I know it certainly went up through the days of Jesus, the rulers of the day wanted people to worship them. The rulers of any great empire felt like that they were, you know, took the place of God many times. They felt like they were, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I mean, that's exactly what they all felt like. We have conquered this. We have overcome all, and we've got a mighty army, and we've overtaken all these lands. We've just ruled the world. We ruled it. You know, they thought they were something. And Nebuchadnezzar was the same. Nebuchadnezzar thought he was somebody. And really, I mean, for me and you, we look and we say, man, he was somebody. I mean, he's sitting on the throne of Babylon, and they had conquered all the things around them. They had taken people captive. As I said, they had drawn them out of their cultures, and they tried to change them. But can I tell you, old Daniel said, hey, Nebuchadnezzar, got a message for you. Blessed be the name of my God. Amen. Because my God has a certain glory. I want you to know God has a certain glory. Listen to how Daniel describes this. First of all, Daniel describes the glory that there is in his name. Do you see that? Daniel said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever. He didn't just say, blessed be the Lord or blessed be God. He said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever. Oh, as I said, at the name of Nebuchadnezzar, nations would tremble. At the mention of the Babylonian king, people might even say, we surrender, we give up, we cannot fight against you. But Daniel said, I'm not blessing his name, I'm blessing the name of my God. Amen. Because my God is a, as I said, a conquering God. My God is a magnanimous, a glorious, an attaining God. My God is the one that fills all of heaven with His glory. Thank God, aren't you glad? Hey, my Bible says that at His name, every knee's going to bow. Every tongue will confess under the glory of God the Father that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. Oh, listen, there's a song that we sing sometimes. And the songwriter said, there's a name above all others. Amen. Wonderful to hear. Bringing hope and cheer. It's the lovely name of Jesus. Evermore the same. What a wonderful, glorious, hallelujah name. What a name, the name of Jesus. Aren't you glad Jesus has got a name, as I say, that's above all else? Aren't you glad that your Bible tells you that Peter stood there looking at the Sanhedrin and they thought we ought to be respected and we're the authority and we're the legality, we're the law carriers for the nation of Israel. Peter and John stood there before them and they said, well, what do you boys know? Y'all are nothing but a bunch of dumb old fishermen. We know y'all don't. You're not like us. You're not learned. You're not educated. You don't have degrees and titles beyond your name. What do y'all know? And old Peter said, well, I do know this. There's no other name given among men under heaven whereby you must be saved but at the name of Jesus. Amen. Can I tell you, and your Bible tells you that God hath given him a name which is above every name. And old Daniel said, can I tell you, I just want to praise the name of my God. Oh, listen, how silly we are many times that we praise pastors and we praise people and we kind of honor men and we never say a word of thanks or praise about the name of our God. Oh my, that's where all of our praise belongs. Can I tell you, when you get to heaven, hey, John writes in the book of Revelation in chapter number 4, it's as if all of heaven is kind of a stir and things are beginning to happen. And old John's like, what's going on? And one of those elders pokes him and says, look there. And as John begins to look, he said, I saw a lamb as he'd been slain. He said, but then when he came forth, he was as the lion of the tribe of Judah. And everybody began to bow. Everybody began to praise. Everybody began to give him honor. honor and glory to his name. For he said, thou art worthy. Amen. What do you say? I'm saying he's got a name, man. This is the name and this is the person of our praise. I mean, his name deserves glory. Hey, he said there's a God in heaven. And this God in heaven, well, he has a certain glory about him. And it's because of one thing, his name. But not only that, not only because of his name. Listen to what else he says here in verse number 20. He said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever. But look what he says at the end of it. For wisdom and might are his. Again, old Nebuchadnezzar might have thought, boy, I'm the big bad king of everything, you know. I'm the man that's conquered. I'm the man that rules. I'm the man they all answer to. In the end, I am the one. Can I tell you? And really, you go on and read that and you'll see the sensibility and the etiquette and the humility of Daniel as he begins to explain the story. He explains how great a king that Nebuchadnezzar is. But by the end of it, he says, but can I tell you, Nebuchadnezzar, somebody going to come along that's a whole lot mightier than all of you that will ever rule. And that's my God. That's my God. You know, in the next chapter on over, you see there's another test toward that thought and that name and that person. And it's those three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, after they have their names changed from who they are here, but as they won't bow to the idol that's been made, they won't go before Nebuchadnezzar, and they get thrown into the fiery furnace. Nebuchadnezzar says, let's take a look, see what I did. And when they opened his little viewing port, he looks around and said, didn't we throw three guys? Yeah, we threw three. He said, why do I see four? Amen? Woo! Hey, he said, he looks like the Son of God. And you know what? Jesus was in there with them. It said when they came out of there, wasn't a hair singed. It said their clothes wasn't burnt. It said they wasn't even the smell of smoke on them. Amen? I can't even get around a little old fire out in the yard without smelling like I've been rolling in ashes for 2 days. Amen? What about y'all? Hey, man, they wasn't nothing on it. Why? Because that name that's above every name, that God, that was, hey, that was him. But do you see what else he said? Not, as I say, not only his name, but Daniel talks about his nature. His nature. He said, for wisdom and might are his. I mean, Nebuchadnezzar might have had the title of king. Nebuchadnezzar might have had the power that he could wield, but what he had was nothing compared to what God had. You know why? Nebuchadnezzar didn't even know what he dreamed. God knew. Nebuchadnezzar didn't even know what it meant, what he had dreamed. God knew. And God took his little old servant boy, Daniel. And Daniel said, God, if you'd just bless me. God, if you'd just show me. God, if you'd just... He said, I'll give you the praise. It ain't me. It's nothing. And as a matter of fact, he tells him. As a matter of fact, you see where the king comes to him. And he wants to know. And he says, when he brought him in, look in verse 26. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar. That was the name that the king had changed it to. He said, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I've seen? And the interpretation there. And old Daniel said, I can't do it. I'm unable. I do not. He said, but there's a God in heaven and he's got all the answers. Why is that? Because Daniel had said in his praise that all the wisdom and all the might belongs to him. Amen? All of that belongs to God. So you see that this God, as Daniel talks about him, he ascribes to him a certain glory. He said, there's a glorious God there, and listen to what I have to say about him. But in the next verse, if you look down at verse number 21, he says, and he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He said, I want you to know, second of all, there is a God in heaven that has a real greatness. a real great. Now, there's people down here who think they're great. Amen. Y'all remember when we were kids, I guess, maybe even into teenage years, there was a guy that ran around all over the place saying he was the greatest. Muhammad Ali, I'm the greatest. Float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. And I mean, sometimes that just makes me so mad I could bite a nail in half. I mean, y'all remember the story? They tell the story. I don't know if it's true or not, but he was on an airplane. He was on an airplane. And he's sitting on the airplane. And, of course, you know, you're on there, you hear that announcement, passengers, we're about to take off. Everybody buckle your seatbelt. Well, Muhammad Ali thought he was so great, he didn't have to buckle his seatbelt. He sat there. The stewardess came by and said, sir, buckle your seatbelt. He looked at her and he said, ma'am, Superman don't need no seatbelt. Amen. He thought he'd big, bad. I mean, you know, I'm the heavyweight champion of the world. That little stewardess looked at him and said, sir, Superman don't need no airplane. Now buckle your seatbelt. Amen. How about that? Huh? I mean, sometimes we think we're great. Sometimes we think we're mighty. Sometimes we think we have wisdom. Sometimes we think all of these things. And there are people that really, they'll tell you about their greatness. You just give them a little time, they'll tell you. Amen. And if it ain't right, they'll make it up and make you believe it if they can, right? But can I tell you, Daniel says, let me tell you about the greatness of my God. Let me tell you about my God. He said, he changes the times and the seasons. Now, this is getting ready for that prophetic inclusion that God has already shown to Daniel. I mean, he talks about him, you know, putting kings in and taking them down, all that kind of thing. But he's saying that. He said, God's the one that changes the times and the seasons. Amen? And listen, I don't know why he done it. But he put them silly devil bushes out there with them Bradford pears. And, you know, he put them out there. And I don't understand that. Maybe when we get to heaven, he'll tell me all about what in the world that's all about. But I mean, isn't that amazing? We've been looking, me and Lynn, driving around everywhere you go. Them things are all blossomed out white all over the place. You know what that is? It's a sign of springtime. I mean, after a while, it's gone. The flowers are gone. The blooms are gone. The smell is gone. All of that fades away. And another season comes along. And you know what? I'm 68 years old. And I've seen, for 68 years, I've seen spring, summer, fall, and winter. God, and you know how that happened? God changed it every time of the season of the year. Amen. I'm just telling you about somebody that's great. Ain't a person on this world can do that. Nobody can make it rain, snow, sunshine all the time. Whatever. Nobody. But aren't you glad we got a God that is so great, he can do all of those things, and it happens at his will and his power. I mean, you see, as I said, that's real greatness. When you've got that kind of power, hey, that's the greatness of God. God is so great that he simply spoke. And Brother Ronnie's talking about that this morning, our Sunday school. He spoke and said, let there be light. And the Bible said, and there was light. Amen? Oh, there's not a scientist alive that can do that. Oh, they can generate something through a battery and through whatever. You know, they can do all that. But you can't just speak and say, let it be, and it is. But the Bible said, God said, let there be, and there was. Amen? Woo! Isn't that something? I mean, God, and then God did everything that he did in those 6 days of creation. And on the seventh day, he rested. And brother, can I tell you, that's the greatness of our God. Psalm number 19, the writer talks about the greatness of God. And I'll just flip over, read you a few verses out of the beginning of it, just to kind of give you a little taste of it. But in Psalm number 19 and verse number 1, it said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth his knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Everybody's got a chance to get a look at the greatness of God because of the power of God that you see every day of your life. Love to get up in the morning. Me and, Me and Lynn get up many mornings, look out those windows, and you begin to see, you know, the darkness is still there somewhat, but then the light begins to break and the skies begin to have those beautiful colors and hues, and the sun begins to creep up. And you know what? God is back there doing it every day. Woo! I'm talking about some greatness now. And it's the greatness of God because of His power. In the evening, the stars come out and they twinkle and they shine in the firmament. And it's the greatness of our God that does that. I mean, He has a great power. But not only does He have a great power, but you realize as you're reading this, He says, He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. I want you to understand, not only does He have that great power, He also has great purpose. See, I don't understand a lot of times why God does what He does in the way that He does it. But can I tell you, God's got a great purpose in what He does. And as I said, this is just kind of a preliminary, I think, as Daniel is praising God for what He's shown him, for the revelation, the revealing of that vision. And he says he's changing the times, changing the seasons. He removes kings and He setteth up kings. Amen? You know, people try to do that around the world, but it doesn't ever work, does it? I mean, something happens. But can I tell you, in the hand of God, it works every time. When God, what I'm saying is this, God has a purpose in what He's doing. And I don't understand it, and you don't understand it, but God knows perfectly well what He's doing. Isn't it amazing that there was the counsel and the foreknowledge of God before the foundation of the world, and the Godhead got together and said that man would be made, man would sin, man would fall, and man needed a redeemer. And Jesus, as the Son of God, said, Father, I'll go and pay the sin debt. That's before anything ever got here. All of that was decided. All of it was known. All of it was ready for motion. How did that happen? I'm telling you, that's the greatness of the purpose of God. God understood what was going to happen. It's as if God can stand here and see this end and that end, and He knows all the things that happen in between. How is that? That's the greatness of God. You know where we are? We're just stuck in one little place of time throughout that whole structure, and we just see what's right there around us. We really can't get it all. You ever watch the parades on television, like the Macy's Day, Thanksgiving Parade, and they'll get down there with a camera on the street, and then people will say, well, here's the Snoopy float or the Mickey Mouse or whatever it is that's going by, all them little things. And you know what you're wondering? What's next? Well, all of a sudden they go, pew, up here from the Goodyear blimp looking at the whole thing. You can see what's down that way. You can see what's done past. You can get the whole picture, can't you? But when you're down there on the street, all you get is right there what's in front of you. See, that's what God's got the high view. He sees the beginning and He sees the end. He is the Alpha and He is the Omega. He knows it all and everything that's in between. Why? Because, brother, He's got a great purpose in what He's doing in our lives. And that's what Daniel is saying. He's the one that can set men up into kingship, and He's the one that can take them down. Why does He do it that way, preacher? I have no idea. But can I tell you, when you look at this, and particularly at this point, Daniel could have gotten political. He could have. He could have said, you know what? I don't like that king that you... He doesn't say anything about it. He just says, I know that God's the one that puts them and the one that takes them down. You know what that says to me and you? We need to simply understand God has a purpose, and we just need to live with it. Because He says after that, He says He removeth kings, setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise. He'll make you wise if you'll just listen to him. Say, God, I don't understand. He said, well, look, here's some wisdom. You just hang on. Trust me. And knowledge to them that know understanding. If you'll just say, God, help me to understand. Give me faith. Give me the wisdom that I need. And God will say, trust me, and we'll just follow him. Amen? So God, this God that we're talking about, there is a God in heaven. There's a God that has a certain glory. There's a God that has a real greatness about him. But last of all, let's look at this and talk about there is a God that has the ability to graciously give. To graciously give. Look at verse 22. He said, he revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what's in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. He knows. Isn't that amazing? First of all, let me tell you this. He knows all the secrets. God knows all the secrets of this world. He knows all the secret places. He knows all the secret people. He knows all the secret things. He knows every bit of that. And yes, he knows the secrets within every heart that's sitting here tonight and of everybody else that's in the world. God knows all the secrets. Sometimes we think we've got things hid. Oh, listen, he knows the deep and the secret things. Daniel said, God knows all the secrets. And here's the king, a king Nebuchadnezzar, a man sitting on the throne, a man that rules the world, a man that's renowned, a man that's mighty, and he doesn't even know what his dream is or what it's about. But you know who does? There's a God in heaven. Amen. That's what Daniel said. There's a God, and he knows. He knows your deepest, darkest, secret things. He knows those thoughts and those hopes and those dreams in your life. He knows every bit of those things. God knows the deep and the dark. And boy, sometimes, in some places, he's able to reveal them, even to us or to others. And here's Daniel. Daniel said, God, I don't know. God, I don't understand. God, I need to know. And he begins to plead and pray and ask God for some help. And you know what God does? He comes on the scene and he says, let me just do this. I'm going to pull back the curtain. And here it is. Woo, isn't that good when God does that? You know what that means to me and you? That means you and I can pray and God can show us some of the things that are deep, dark secrets in this world and in these lives. I'm thankful that we have the privilege of praying, that we have the privilege of trusting. We have the privilege of knowing what our God can do. And old Daniel says here, let me just tell you, friend, he said, God knows all the secrets. He knows. And listen what he says. He says, God knows all the secrets. He knows what's in the darkness. And he knows. He knows. Why? Because the light dwelleth with him. You ever go into any of them deep, dark places? I've been in some. And you know what comes in handy when you get in a deep, dark place? A flashlight. Amen. Go up under your house. You know what you need? You need a flashlight, don't you? You don't get in the basement or the recesses of some building or something. Hey, toss me a light. You got to have a light to get it. Amen. You remember when Paul and Silas are in the jail and the earthquake happens? What does the jailer say? First thing he did, he called for a light. And then he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Brother, you better have a light. And the light, Jesus said that he was the light of the world. And he said, when I'm gone, ye are the light of the world. You're like a candle on a candlestick, and it sits upon a hill. Can I tell you, brother, when you've got a little bit of light, it'll go a long ways. You can take a simple flashlight, and it can be the darkest of night. You can turn that flashlight on, and there are places where you can see the light for maybe a half to three quarters of a mile away. Why? Because it's just a single little old light, but it's there to be seen. Aren't you glad God's got all the light that we need? Oh, we may be in some deep, dark places. It may be secretive, But hey, when God wants to turn on the light, and that's what Daniel said. Daniel said, we've been sitting here in the dark. And I called on my three buddies, and we started praying. And God said, here, let me turn the flashlight on for you. And he began to reveal to him the things that he needed to know. Why is that? Because he's got a God that's graciously giving what you and I need. Whatever you need, friend, God is gracious to give you the light that you need. He'll give you the light. He knows all the secrets. And then listen, not only does he know all the secrets, he knows how to share them. It says he revealeth the deep and the secret things. God reveals them to those that he will. You know how that comes? That comes through prayer. Prayer and fasting. It comes through, I mean, seasons of something. When you look at this, it's kind of amazing looking in the book of Daniel. When you begin, Daniel begins with this, with dreams. There's a couple of times Daniel has dreams, and God is showing him things through dreams. If you'll look on a little bit later, you'll see that Daniel has some visions. He goes from dreams to visions. Even while he's awake, he has a vision of some things. And then as he gets older, as he gets some old age on him, and some say that Daniel was probably 70 plus in the latter part of the book of Daniel, probably just a teenager when we start out with these dreams. But as he gets older, he just stands and God just reveals some things to him while he's standing there. He gets mature enough where he can understand it. What I'm saying is, brother, there's a process in our life. God can deal with us in some ways when we're younger, and then maybe as we get a little bit more mature in him, he can show us some other things. And by the time you get into that greater maturity, God says, I think I can just pull back the curtains and show you some stuff that nobody else can handle. Can you see that in the life of John the Apostle? Boy, when he was young and following the Lord Jesus, I mean, he's just like the rest of them. He didn't get it, but you know what he did? He stuck in there. Who do you find lying on Jesus' breast at the supper? Jesus has got John right there up next to him, listening to the heartbeat of God. When Jesus is hanging on the cross, who is there? John, behold thy mother, and mother, behold thy son. When all of the others are seemingly having struggles in time, hey, old John perseveres through them all. They say that, and church history says they tried to boil John in oil, and he just wouldn't die. You know what I say? He's a tough old bird, but yeah, he's the last one around. And God put him out on the Isle of Patmos. What'd he do? He revealed himself to him. I'm just saying, friend, God knows all the secrets. And God's ready to show them to those. He's ready to shine that light, and he's ready to show you what you need to know in your life. Just grow up, stay close, and have your ear open so you can hear what he's got to say. Amen? Oh, aren't you thankful tonight that Daniel said there's a God in heaven? Didn't take credit for himself, didn't want any credit for himself. He said, there is a God in heaven. Brother, I'm here to report to you tonight. Hey, we're here on the 10th day of March in 2024, and there's still a God in heaven. He's still there. Amen. Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing a verse of some song. Maybe you're here tonight, and the Lord's speaking your heart about some things that you just need to hear, you need to know, maybe just some things that you need to that you want to know from him, that you'd like to hear, you'd like to discern, like to have the insight on, and you're like, well, preacher, I just don't know. I'm just kind of, you know, in a place where it's unclear, where it's unmarked, where it's just never been before. Can I tell you, you can come down here. And it may not be tonight, but you can continue and pray and plead with God. Daniel, just as a young boy, said, fellas, he got his friends, so let's get together, let's pray, because we need to hear from God. Don't we need to hear from God?